Why are you like this?
Smitty on the track. And welcome to Say Less, Say More, the trio that you didn't know you needed. Go and get your money, little duffel bag boy. I'm here. I'm 2-5. And of course, I got the gang with me. The one and only El Residente. Of course, the man that goes by many names, but I'm going to stick with DJ Radical Jack.
Come on, man. You already know what it is, man. It's your boy Jackie Reigns, a.k.a. Ringo Man Dico, a.k.a. Swaggy J, a.k.a. Jack Uso. Ooh, I messed that up. Also, today, y'all know Teddy Bridgewater is Teddy Two Gloves. Well, you can call me Jackie Two Rings. You know what I'm saying? We out here, man. You already know what it is, man. Boy, Radical Jack, man.
Yes, and tonight, we're going to cover all the bases. Is it cheaper to keep her? When do you file for divorce? We're going to talk a little colorism, NFL, pretender, contender. And of course, you know we got a topic from the JBP. But first, we're going to check in and see what's going on with the gang. So, fellas, what's happening these days?
Gang violence. Uh-oh, Rez, you muted?
I'm a decent man in the city of demons. I'm doing well, man. Just, you know, getting past a good weekend. Went to my first the season opener for the North Charleston Stingrays, South Carolina Stingrays, ECHL zone. You know, we out here, you know, dominating. We won 2-1. Take that, Roanoke. Didn't see us coming. Beat y'all down. Don't come to our city like that.
Roanoke, like Virginia?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
For me, you know what I'm saying? DJ'd, you know what I'm saying? Go Birds, you know what I'm saying? Little dub here and there, you know, no big deal, man. I told y'all what was going to happen last week, you know what I'm saying? And my boy Jalen Hurts decided to give y'all another, is that what y'all wanted? It is what it is, man. Go Birds.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm getting started on this week's edition of 2-5 takes over chopchat.com. You know, your Florida State content, great articles and everything. And of course, Sports Reports is ordered is rocking with the NBA preview. But above all and else, I'm blessed.
I love it.
So, I love that.
Happy to be awake another day. That's all I asked for.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But speaking of which, there's a lot of people out there that are going through some misery. They might be having relationship issues. Communication might be going awry. But one, is it cheaper to keep her? And when do you know it's time for divorce?
Now, this is an interesting topic for us because all three of us have been divorced before. So, and all three of us have been remarried before. So it's actually really interesting. We're actually a really good group of, you know, positive black men, fathers, husbands to have this conversation. It's actually one of the things that joins us. In our brotherhood, I guess the first thing I'll say is, you know, divorce is not an easy decision to make. I know a lot of times, you know, that there's a predilection towards thinking that, you know, that men, specifically black men, are really, you know, quick to run. But the truth is that there's a lot of things that you have to consider before deciding to take that step and getting divorced. And I know for myself, I can't speak for you guys, and I'm sure you're going to speak for yourselves. When I did decide to go through with getting a divorce, it was definitely one where I felt like I had no other options left. And so I made the decision was best for me and for my peace of mind. So I just wanted to say that before, you know, we really get into the discussion.
Just off of the divorce thing. Yeah. I don't even use that word, you know what I'm saying? In our house, we don't even use it. You know what I'm saying? We don't speak on it. We call it the big D and we don't even let to even use it in any type of way. But as far as my old marriage goes, yeah, I got a divorce. I was cheated on. I wasn't paying for it. I made her do all that. She went to court. She did it all. They brought me papers. I signed them, and that was it. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any piece of that because I didn't destroy the marriage. I damn sure wasn't paying to get you out of it. You messed up. You do. You need to. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had the displeasure of doing this thing twice. The first time, you know, we just had no business being married in the first place, right? Like, young, dumb, just making bad decisions. You know, second time around, I learned a very valuable lesson of it's hard, but as long as you exhaust yourself, you should be able to move forward knowing that you did all that you could. And you know, sometimes life just doesn't work out that way.
I think for me, like, one of the reasons why I felt like I had to when I did, and I don't talk about my divorce often. I, much like you said, Jack, I'm not a big fan of using the word. Me and Toya do not talk about divorce. It's not even something we bring up, like, oh, you leaving, I'm leaving. No, we don't do that. But as we are referring to actual divorces, it was a situation where, like, literally it was either that or I kept knocking my head against the wall, for lack of better terms, and trying to make something work that just wasn't there. We got married at a really young age. I got married at 19 years old. I got married, 13 days after I graduated high school. I literally, like, went from being a high school student to being a husband within 2 weeks. And that's just not, you know, you grow so much between the ages of 18 and 22 that I always recommend younger people to not get married right out of high school. There's just so much you need to learn about yourself. We didn't have the best communication skills. We didn't deal with conflict very well. We were fine when things were good, but when things were bad, it was really, really bad. I didn't want my kids to grow up in a home where, you know, they heard mom and dad arguing all the time, or it was, you know, really bad energy around them all the time. So a lot, my decision was rooted in all of that. And I also had to consider, you know, I was in the military at the time. So of course you got to factor in child support. You have to factor in the possibility of alimony. You got to factor in all of these different things. You know, making sure that a separate household is taken care of. That's not the easiest thing, you know, to decide. But if you are in a situation where you really see no positive outcomes coming, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse, and it's causing your peace of mind to the point that you are, like, considering, like, self-harm and things of that nature, I'd rather you walk away and save yourself than to stay on that ship and sink.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you said child support, alimony type thing. Me personally, you know, I'm not a big fan of people staying for any type of reason. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about that. If you got to be on child support, or you got to pay alimony, or, you know, even if, you know, the whole, you know, the kids aren't going to be with me 24/7 type deal. If you're truly not happy in your relationship, all that other stuff doesn't matter. You'll figure it out. But you should not stay together because, oh, I don't want to pay her $600 a month, or I don't want to have my kid, you know, this weekend, that weekend, you know. And a lot of people don't even realize you don't have to follow those court rules either. Like, if you two can get along and y'all can just work it out amongst yourself, the court paperwork is just there in case y'all are both on some fuck them forever, you know, type thing where y'all just can't communicate. You have to go off that paperwork. But if y'all are cool, y'all could literally work it out where, hey, they stay at my house Tuesdays and Wednesdays, or this week, that week. You could do whatever you want. Like, the rules are yours. But you should not stay in a relationship if you're truly, truly sacrificing your mental health and your happiness. I don't want this to be like mental health thing, but, like, your happiness matters. You should not live life miserable as hell just because you're trying to stay together for your kids, and your kids can see two parents are unhappy as hell.
Yeah.
You know, so.
See, that's where I beg to differ slightly. You know, I think it's a little more nuanced than that. You know, mm-hmm. So, like, for example, you know, when I went through my first divorce, you know, I was a young airman first class, you know, saying E3 out there. Yeah, E3 out there for those uninitiated. So, you know, so paying child support at the time would have broke me. And, you know, so that goes back into the mental health part of it, because, like, yes, the relationship is bringing you stress. You're unhappy, but I'm going to be unhappy, too, if I ain't got no money. And I'm going to be unhappy if I am spending time with my kid, but I can't do the things that we used to do, or at least some semblance of that, you know. So I'm not saying stay for 5 years or whatever the case may be, but just stay to the point where you can get yourself on your feet. Women do it all the time. Secret bank accounts, all that kind of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So on top of that, you know, I think that it depends on who the person leaving is, too, because we talked about this a little bit earlier offline. You know, when you go to court, it's a little different for a man than it is for a woman in most cases. Not all, but like when I went to court and, you know, my ex was like, hey, he can keep the kid. You know, the judge pleaded with her, like, are you sure this is what you want to do? You made, this is your decision. You know, I don't think I would have been afforded that same, you know, concern, if you will. And you know, and then when I was like, well, hey, like, well, how do we get this child support popping? And, you know, judge is like, well, when you move, you can do it there because y'all live 10 minutes apart here, but you were going to make me pay. So there's a lot of nuance there, but definitely 100%. If you're unhappy, you got to do the things that's necessary.
Yeah.
You know, because you got to take care of you first, because you can't take care of those kids if you're not in a good place.
Yeah, I also just while we're here, I also want to talk about something that I think us as Black men and men in general do not talk about nearly enough, and that's unhealthy habits when it comes to breaking up with women, whether it be you're in a marriage situation or even a long-term girlfriend situation. Just a few things that I've seen that I want to sort of like take this opportunity to really say to men, Black men specifically, but all men in general. One, don't threaten the person that you're with, that you're breaking up with, right? If I can't have you, nobody else will. Like, that stuff is not cool.
That's insane. Yeah.
And we can't yeah, don't do that,
go
right?
OJ.
Because the truth is that these threats have been realized and actualized way too often for us to act like it's a cool thing to say. So if we say it, we hear ourselves saying it, or we hear our homeboy saying it, we got to start checking that.
Yeah,
that's something that we, as men who are friends of men, we have to start checking that. That is not a cool thing to do. Two, wanting to break up with them while also controlling their life, right? Oh, well, we not going to be together, but you better not date another dude. If I hear you dating somebody else. Well,
since it's my baby mama, I still run.
Right. Once she's mine, she's always mine. No, she's not. You gave up access to that. Once y'all decided to break up, once y'all went y'all separate ways, whether you agreed to it or not, it's over. Let that woman live her life. You do not have ownership of her. She does not owe you anything. You know, of course, respect, but respect doesn't include not dating people. That's not a part of respect. Three, stalking. Again, very, very dangerous stuff. I had a coworker who literally could not come to work events because she was afraid that her ex-boyfriend was going to show up at a job, show up where we were doing work, and throw a brick through her window or slash her tires. That is not a cool behavior, right? And then four, financial abuse, right? I know the Joe Budden podcast, they joke about it a lot, financial abuse. But the truth is that alimony and child support are a real thing. If it's court ordered, then just follow through with it and don't use it as a tool to try to control the woman's life. Of course, that's an addition to, you know, it's a sort of side topic to the cheaper to keep her debate, because, you know, if you do divorce somebody and there is alimony, it may be cheaper to keep her, you know, but don't financially abuse this person. If you have also, children with this child and you know, they're dependent on child support, don't withhold child support because you and the girl don't get along. That makes no sense.
Well, also, you know, like a lot of people got to understand, like the alimony thing, you know, there's a statistic out there. I don't know the exact one, but not a lot of marriages end with alimony. It's not as deep as people want it to be. And most of the time, y'all ain't making enough money anyway to really like have to sit up here and play the concern game. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just a fact. Like a lot of people be out here trying to pretend like, oh dog, she gonna take me for all I got. You make $35,000 a year. Shut
she
up.
Taking
don't nobody want those dirty wife beaters.
She getting half like, your PlayStation.
You gotta stop. You gotta stop pretending like you just got this whole lifestyle that's just gonna be interrupted. You know what I'm saying? But I love what you said about the whole possession thing, because a lot of dudes, yeah, we got it. I say we because we're all men, but I don't do that. I think it's weird as hell to sit up
there.
We don't talk no more, but she do what I tell her to. I don't give a shit what any girl I used to talk to does. They ain't got nothing to do with me.
Like, but that's
it. You know.
But that happens because we as men don't stand up and say we don't. This is not cool.
Yeah.
Like we got young men that are growing up in a world without adult men. And so they're learning, and honestly, from a lot of the adult men that they're learning from are suckers. They mistreat women for centuries. Centuries women were mistreated. Women are just getting to the place where that we are sort of globally accepting that women deserve to be treated with respect. That is a very simple thing to say, you know what, this relationship didn't work out. I'm not going to die, and I'm not going to make her feel like she's going to die because she chose to separate from me. There's other women in the world, and chances are you're cheating on her anyway.
Yeah. So, contrary to popular belief, the sun will rise in the east.
For sure.
And so, you know, just get yourself together, reflect, you know, because you played a part in it, even if, you know, you were the one that decided you had enough. You know, you're an adult, you were there, it takes two. Acknowledge what you brought to the situation and move forward. And that's it. That's it. You know what I'm saying? But hey, you know, we had some interesting football this weekend. So yes, what I want to know from you guys is quick thoughts on what you saw. And I need one pretender and one contender for the Super Bowl this year.
Hey, I got you. So I'll go ahead and say this week's big game for me personally was the Eagles, of course, because, you know what I'm saying, we've been on a two-game losing streak. And, you know what I'm saying, we needed this. We needed this. I'm going to just say I think we need to get rid of A.J. Brown. I'm just going to put it out there. Wow. It's not the production. It's not nothing else. It's you're becoming a distraction, bro. And I cut for you, A.J. I really do. You're a dog. But this nonchalant thing, it's not working. And the thing is, like, even if AJ had a problem, I wouldn't care. But you got to stop putting the media into it. Keep that in the locker room and let that be amongst y'all. You know what I mean? Because you're just drawing negative attention to the team as a whole. And everybody's mental fortitude ain't built for sideline this, and this. They get on Twitter and they read these things, and now they're wondering, like, well, maybe we are losing because of this. You got to keep that stuff in the locker room, dog. But I will say, I told y'all Jalen was going to go out there, give y'all super-duper business, and we got 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, no fumbles. Great Jalen Hurts.
And guess what? That rematch with the Giants coming up.
Yeah, and hope for the best, bro. I'm not an unrealistic fan. I can't say that, oh, we got to smoke them. I don't know, dog. Jackson Dart. And what's his name?
Cam Scataboo.
Scataboo. That dude was going crazy. So I don't know if it's Vic Fangio's defense looking a little whatever, but I hope that we can figure it out. Next game, what y'all think about? What's a game y'all liked last week?
Only game I watched was Niners Falcons, bro.
And he means that with all of his heart.
He really does mean it, too. Like, I only watched one game.
I only watched one game. I was literally at a birthday brunch from 12 until 4. And then I was driving home, and I didn't watch a game there. But then I got home right in time for the Niners game to start. I watched Niners Falcons. And then on the Monday night game, I didn't watch either of those games much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I watched Niners Falcons. So, the only game I can tell you about is, you know, hey, dog, 5-2. 5-2. Our starting quarterback's been down since week 2. You know, the defense has, like, losing people left and right. But we just keep throwing people out on the field and winning games, dog. Like, I don't know what we got to do to get respect. But I guess, you know, winning games isn't enough for that. They did I saw a Pro Football Focus top 32 NFL teams, and we were like ranked like 16. And there were two teams that we beat already ahead of us.
Hey, man. That's why, like, the media doesn't matter, bro.
I was like, what?
That's exactly why the media don't matter, you know?
So all I got to say is, dog, don't say what you say. Don't let us get healthy, bro. Y'all let us get healthy, I'm telling you. So that's my asterisk contender, is my Niners. But I definitely think the Eagles are just the class of the league. I really do. And then on the AFC side, KC's coming back. KC is right there. They're not far off from where they usually are. And they're getting healthier. And Mahomes is learning that his wide receivers and skill position players a lot better, which means that's going to be trouble in week 15, 16. So, yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, so
Kansas City looks crazy.
If you ever want to learn how to overcome adversity, and just go through bad situations and not give up, just watch the 49ers play. You know what I'm saying? Can't much else go wrong for them, right? But what stood out to me this weekend is I'm not one of those people that says that the league is rigged and that all the, you know, that everything's not on the up and up. But as I was watching the Denver Broncos getting a foot put right up their ass by the Giants.
That was wild.
They were out here honoring Demaryius Thomas, rest in peace. You know, they threw him into their wall of ring of fame. Right. And he passed away, unfortunately, at age 33. And wouldn't you know that would be the day they scored 33 points in the fourth quarter?
Oh, my God.
They didn't score at all before the fourth quarter, and they scored 33 points in the fourth quarter. But what stood out to me for real was, bro, who is Justin Herbert? Like, because I know, like, off and on, you know, I go through these moods where I'm like, I see the talent. And then he plays a good team or a big game, and I go, I don't know about this guy. And I went through both of those emotions this weekend where I was just like, he throws the ball way and is trusted to throw the ball way too much for somebody who has accomplished the little bit of things that he accomplished. So I'm going to go with the Chargers as my pretender.
Mm.
You know, even though I did pick them to win the AFC West, and I'm still sticking with that because I don't like to change. You know, I said what I said. So, but you know, but that's my contender. They can still win the division, but flame out in the first round again. But as far as contender, I got a team that nobody would ever think that I would say. I'm going to the Pacific Northwest, and that Seattle defense is real. You know what I mean? Now,
okay. Now,
with that being said, you got to rely on Sam Darnold. But damn it, if Trent Dilfer could win a Super Bowl, if Jimmy Garoppolo could get a team to the Super Bowl, then I'm calling Seattle a contender.
Sam Darnold could win one, huh? Hey, I'm not mad at that. I'm not
Sam
mad at
Darnold
that.
Sam Darnold would have to win a game against San Francisco to win a Super Bowl.
Maybe.
Not going to happen.
Maybe.
Not if the
Eagles get to you first.
We don't have Steve Wilkes to call a zero coverage defense with 10 seconds left on the clock this year. So,
well, my pretender.
I don't know if your defensive coordinator going to be there. He already talking about ending people's lives.
My guy, Sala. My guy, Sala, doing what he's supposed to do out there. Shout out to my guy.
Shout out to my guy. And real quick, and I know I shouldn't say this, but he is of the wrong variety to be talking like that in this country.
Hey, look, that's man. Crazy. Hey, you can say what you want, dog. Freedom of speech. My pretender is the Dallas Cowboys.
Ooh.
Those are my pretenders. Those are the pretenders for this year. You don't get to drop 44 points on the Commanders and then have everybody be like, oh, Dallas is back. No, let's not forget what happened before this. Okay?
Y'all know who my pretenders are?
Like, come on, dog. Who's your pretender?
The Rams.
Nah,
the Detroit Lions.
Ooh. Sizzling after last night?
That's tough.
Especially because of last night.
Ooh, that's tell me more.
I've just seen them do it too many times, dog. Like I've seen, like every year it's, oh, they are the best offense in the league. Oh, they're crazy. And then they get to the playoffs. And then Jared Goff's. And the defenses.
I know, but they got the real Reggie Bush.
Hey, they can have they've had the real Reggie Bush for the last 3 years.
Yeah, I was about to say. I mean, I don't know, bro. I think my contender is gonna be the Green Bay Packers. But I don't think that's a shocker. But I got the Packers. That's my contender.
See, that's they might be my second pretender. Because I actually picked Green Bay to win the NFC before the season started. And but right now I don't know what that team is.
They are super inconsistent.
But I am excited, and you're excited, Jackie Reigns, because they go to Pittsburgh this week on Sunday Night Football. Aaron Rodgers, Packers.
Hey, Aaron.
Sign me up.
Hey, don't sleep on the Steelers. But as far as next week's games go, man, let's run these down real quick, man. You got Vikings, Chargers.
Chargers.
Chargers. Dolphins, Chargers. Falcons.
Falcons.
I don't know what's happening in Miami, too. They need to fold it up right now.
Fold that up right now.
I told y'all last time. Put Miami with the San Francisco 49ers and Dallas Cowboys. They have not done nothing in a million years. Like, it is crazy.
But we made a Super Bowl, though.
Don't put that I know.
Two of them.
I know.
Yeah, don't put the worst. Three.
I forgot about the about the screw job. You know, the lights. I forgot about the screw job. Crabtree.
Yeah, don't put the Dolphins with us. Don't do that.
All right, what else we got, Jack? You know, say
Bears Ravens.
Well,
Bears on a 4-game win streak. Ravens get Lamar back.
Bears.
If Lamar is back, I'm taking the Ravens.
I take the Bears. Period.
Is Lamar coming back? Is Lamar back? Oh, then the Ravens.
Well, the Bears. Caleb Williams is still. He's a lot like me. We need chaos to function.
Hey,
you know, when things are calm. He still makes bad decisions and doesn't know what to do. But when it's a mess.
Y'all average about the same amount of yards per game, though.
Bro, no. Caleb Williams is ass. Like, the Bears are just functioning. They had 26 points, and Caleb Williams basically didn't contribute to that.
Hey, isn't it sad, on a side note, Rez will appreciate this more than you since you don't watch college football. Caleb Williams done took Spencer Rattler's whole life, man.
He did. He did. I saw an article about that.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
Wait, did he beat him in college, too?
Well, he took his job.
He took his job and just took his whole life. He did.
They were getting beat by Texas, and Caleb Williams was the backup. So Caleb Williams and Spencer Rattler was the number one rated quarterback coming out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
So then the coach left and went to USC. Caleb Williams went with him.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams goes number one in the draft. Spencer Rattler goes in the fourth round.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. That's dope, though.
His life. All right.
Jets, Bengals.
Bengals.
Somebody got to win. Bengals.
I mean, the Jets. Are the Jets going 0-17?
No, they'll find a win.
No, I think they'll beat somebody that's resting starters. You know,
they'll find a win.
Bills, Panthers.
Bills. No Bryce Young.
49ers, Texans.
Come on, dog.
Niners. Texans don't score 13.
Browns, Patriots.
Patriots. Pats.
Drake May is out there killing them.
Side question, real quick. Side question. Would you take Dylan Gabriel over Justin Fields?
Yes. I'll take my butthole over Justin Fields.
What?
Hey, he said it, not me. Why are you like this? It makes no sense.
Why are you like this?
Hey, Giants, Eagles.
Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles getting that revenge.
Eagles.
I'm going to say that we definitely get the revenge. I feel like.
Up in the link.
Yeah, we got to make them the smalls again. Buccaneers, Saints.
Buccaneers. Sorry to see you go, Mike Evans.
Yeah. Hey, this is Red's game right here. Titans, Colts.
Oh.
Bleed blue for the shoe, Nap Nation.
Listen.
Colts by 3 touchdowns.
Listen. Some of us believed in the Colts. From the beginning of the season, wants to move with Mayfield Daniel Jones, knowing that, you know, the team just needed some stability. That Shane Steichen actually can coach quarterbacks and that they just didn't have the right quarterback at the helm at the time. You know, I was one of those people who believed from day one, you know. Mm-hmm. I bleed blue for the shoe.
Mm.
Oh.
Nap Nation.
Nap Nation. You know, if I was to say I had a team that I'm more of a fan of than some of its fans, I guess you'd say.
Ooh.
It'd be me.
Damn.
Clip that up.
Fuck Jay-Z.
Clip that up.
Cowboys, Broncos.
This one I struggle with.
I go Broncos.
I actually struggle with
like Dallas.
But I like the Broncos because it's bow time, baby.
I think I like Dallas. I'm not impressed with the Broncos this year.
I'm not impressed with Bo Nix at all. But I think Broncos because I think the defense is going to.
Hey, don't forget Conspiracy Nix is real, bro.
And I believe it's at Mile High, and you know they honored Demaryius last week, so they used all that mojo already.
Mm. But and Demaryius was also on the Cowboys.
I think the defense is going to be able to get Dak on his heels, and when Dak gets pressured a lot, he makes mistakes. Okay. I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay.
Packers, Steelers. Does Aaron destroy the Packers because he's mad?
Nah, go Pack. Yes. Pack's going to win this one.
I think the Steelers win. Like I said, I think Green Bay has been doing that whole it's only so long fake thugs could pretend thing. and it's got to catch up at some point.
Okay. Last game, Monday night, Commanders Chiefs.
Oh, dude.
Ugh. Is that the Halloween team?
I don't think – I think Jaden's out a month or so, so, you know, that's pretty easy.
Yeah. Oh, he's out again?
Yeah, he hurt his hamstring yesterday or Sunday.
I believe in RG3.
Hey, don't get Regina started. Regina already put y'all on notice.
Patty Mahomes is going to do his thing. I'm not going to watch it, though, because
– Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Raw will be on.
All right. So after that, real quick, before we move on, NBA starts tonight.
Yeah.
Anything in particular you guys looking for? Do you got a championship pick?
I want to see what OKC does in this running back. I think OKC has a real opportunity to do what I thought the Warriors were supposed to do when they had it, which is to really run some off. I think that the OKC won last year on a B playoff series, like a B finals. Like, I don't think they played their best at all. And I think when it all clicks, no one will be able to touch them. And they're gonna win at least three.
Hey, do you think that last year was kind of like Kawhi's Raptor run? They just kind of got lucky?
No, I don't think they got lucky. I just think that they're so much better than everybody else. They're so much better than everybody else.
They like, it's not the best team in the league.
They got three guys that could average 30.
Okay. Okay. Hey, I'm not. I don't watch the NBA like that. I'm gonna try to tune in now.
Yeah.
Just cause
they got three guys that can average 30
in OKC right now. So
they got three guys that can average 30, and they might be the best defensive team in the league too.
Well, I hate to be that guy because I was the first person and only person before the season that I remember picking OKC to win the title.
You 100% to run the. You 100%.
So I am going to be the guy that calls on OKC's demise.
Oh.
Who wins?
So what? I'm going with the Denver Nuggets to win the title. And over the Cleveland Cavaliers. And if you want more details, check out Sports Reports' order.
Do that. Number one, best sports pod in the land. Check it out.
Yeah, I'm going with the Joker. You know, they took him to 7 last year. You know, of course, Aaron Gordon hurt the hamstring going into game 7. And they got reinforcements now. They got Bruce Brown back, Tim Hardaway. You know, we'll get into it.
I think the door on that team is closed.
But last question, you know, well, I guess this is the new topic here. You know what I'm saying? So the Vision turned on Seth Rollins, of course.
They did. We said
Seth Rollins is hurt. Seth Rollins stripped of the title.
Stripped.
So now we got a guy that lost a number one contenders match last week, but he won a battle royal last night to get a match on Saturday night's main event next week. So with that being said, guys, CM Punk, Jey Uso, who walks out of Saturday night's main event with the title?
CM Punk.
Ooh. Yeah.
Good answer. Sorry. I didn't think you were going to do it.
CM Punk has to win, bro. He has to get one more title reign before he's like out of that title picture. So I believe
think that's why.
Hey, you can get your hate off.
Well, no, I think it's the story. Because remember last night, because you know, I tried to watch. Remember, Jay was talking to Jimmy, and he was all like, you know, hey, you know what? Maybe you were right. And then he was like, but also Roman was right.
Right.
So he's still at this conflict. You know what I mean? So he has to lose.
I remember
to dig down deep and insert, you know, all that good stuff.
And then figure out who it is I need to be the champ.
Right.
And then you think him and CM Punk. Oh, so you think him and CM Punk get another one. He takes it. And then what? He loses it to Braun Breaker, Brock Lesnar, somebody.
Yeah, I think Braun Breaker.
Because I'm predicting WrestleMania is going to be Braun Breaker and Brock Lesnar for a championship. That's what I'm
predicting. And by WrestleMania, I'm still going to be sitting here like, when's LA Knight going to get the title?
I don't think LA Knight gets the title, bro.
I don't think he does either.
I don't think he's going to get it, man.
He's going to get it, but it won't be a long reign.
Unless he goes to Cody Rhodes over there on SmackDown.
Yes.
He's going to get it, but it won't be a long reign.
Let's get Rez in here, though, because I got a question for y'all I want to ask, too.
Mm-hmm. So I think CM Punk wins it. I don't enjoy hearing Jey Uso talk. So if for no other reason than I won't have to hear Jey Uso talk with a title in his hand, I think that's worth the thing. But I don't think CM Punk holds
that's
the title.
Not Jey Uso, y'all.
I don't think this is a long run. I think they're trying to figure out a way to get the title back to Roman Reigns. It just makes sense because Roman Reigns is the only wrestler. I've been watching wrestling. Y'all know I took a very long hiatus. But even when I was a kid, there was never a time that I can remember even the most popular wrestler them announcing this a wrestler is not here and people still chant their name the entire night.
Like, yeah, they do OTC. They go crazy.
If they don't give Roman a title run in this, they just don't care about heat. Like, they just don't.
I can respect that. Roman definitely needs the title back, and I think it would be fire if Roman gets the world heavyweight title too, because then he'll really have Roman's never had an Intercontinental Championship, huh?
I know that's the one belt John Cena hasn't won.
Yeah, John Cena the U.S., but I don't think Roman's ever had a mid-card belt. I think he's only been champion.
Remember the critique. I said this, I don't know if it was on a call that we had or on an actual pod, but remember that the critique that John Cena had of Roman Reigns was that he did not open the door for other people. He didn't open up, like Cena talked about opening up SummerSlam to give somebody their first big match. Sami Zayn, Sami Zayn's first big matches was against John Cena. And I think that Roman is going out his way now to do those matches. That's why you're seeing the matches that he has now. It's to give these guys, okay, I'm paying dues, but they
get like Bronson Reed beating him, stuff like that.
So this is how you fix SmackDown. You send Roman Reigns to SmackDown and you let him get that title. SmackDown saved.
Get his revenge on Cody.
Because if Roman's on SmackDown, it becomes must-see TV again. You have to watch it.
He's only still going to be there once every 4 months, but the anticipation will build.
Right.
But here's I got some questions real quick. Let me walk through this real quick. So what if CM Punk wins against Jay next week? We get to the Royal Rumble. Roman defeats CM Punk at the Royal Rumble. Now you get to the actual Royal Rumble match.
Just Jay versus.
And just for heartbreak purposes, Sammy and Jay are the last two. WrestleMania, Jay versus Roman, Sammy versus Cody. What do y'all think about that?
Sammy versus Cody would be dope. I like Sammy, so I think Sammy getting the title, that would be dope. I don't think he holds the title long. You know, you give it to him a couple.
And then weeks. He loses it to LA Knight.
Yeah,
that works though. He loses LA Knight.
Jay have their WrestleMania match to close off. You know, whatever the story is.
Yeah,
I like. You know, Roman don't want to see them to Christmas anyway. At least,
right? At least to Christmas.
Christmas,
which is still a wild bar.
I know.
That is crazy. I don't want to see your ass for months.
Like, what are we supposed to do for Thanksgiving?
It don't matter. I don't want to see you Halloween, Thanksgiving. You can see me on Christmas, big dog.
Veterans Day.
No, you know, Hanukkah. Day. None of that.
Nah.
Kwanzaa.
Christmas. You know what I'm saying? So, as I was sitting here with the other half, she said one of the craziest things a person would say. She asked me. Or actually, she didn't even ask me.
She
made
ask
a declaration.
Where is she? Where is she?
That the Nature Boy is overrated.
Lindsay.
Ric Flair. Ooh.
Make your case.
Make your case. Oh, you want me to come? Yeah, come on over here.
Say what you need to say.
No camera for you. No.
She ain't got to say it on camera.
Just shout it from the side.
Yeah, just say something real quick. Tell me why. He's annoying. Obnoxious. He's obnoxious. All things that have nothing to do with wrestling and actually make great wrestlers, because the whole point is to solicit a reaction.
It is.
Reaction I get is I want to vomit. Ooh, okay. So the reaction she gets is she wants to vomit. Jesus. That's how I feel when I see Ric Flair's daughter.
Okay, so, we know you hate Charlotte Flair. We get that. However, what I will say about Ric Flair is prime Ric Flair is a god amongst wrestlers, right? What I will say is I can kind of get with Lindsay when it comes to post-evolution Ric Flair is kind of annoying.
So I have a few questions for you, Lindsay. Do you like styling and profiling?
Blank stare. Okay. This is great podcasting, by the way.
Do you like limousine riding and jet flying?
Jet flying?
What about kiss stealing?
What about wheeling and dealing? What about wheeling and dealing? Son of a gun.
Son of a gun.
Woo!
Anyway, moving on. So, guys, is colorism as big a deal? That's a
crazy segue. What?
Is colorism as big a deal as it is made out to be?
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to talk about this old-ass white man. We're going to get his saying going, by the way, how do you feel about dark skin versus light skin?
So, yes, colorism is definitely an issue in the black community. But actually, I found that it's not just in the black community. It actually extends beyond, because there are other nationalities and other races that do have colorism within. It's just that the black colorism is related specific, like really goes back to slavery.
Yeah.
Idea that, you know, those who were enslaved and were lighter skinned were considered to, one, do lighter labor, so they weren't respected by the field slaves as much. Also, a lot of them were descendants of the master because of rape.
Correct.
So that was also something that factored into it. And of course, it shows itself in modern society in so many ways. You know, there's certain guys that are like, you know, I don't date, you know, dark skinned women. I only date, you know, light skinned women. And that's something that they have to sort of deconstruct for themselves to figure out what that means. But to answer the question on his face, yes, it's still a thing.
Go ahead, finish.
Go.
So I will say, you know, people do that, but also it's we gotta also look at it like, when is it not a preference versus hate? Because ooh. On one end of the spectrum, you have it where some people literally only like light-skinned women. But there's also dudes who only date dark-skinned girls. But you're only colorist if you choose the light-skinned girl. If you
that's not true,
on the internet is true.
Well,
of course the internet is wrong, but that's the thing. That's what they talk about. It's always dark-skinned girls are the ones that are like, oh, I feel ugly. I've always felt like the lighter girls are prettier and all this other stuff. That's the majority. Of course, it's not everybody, but the majority of the colorism talk is dark-skinned people feeling ostracized because light-skinned people are better. That is typically how this whole colorism thing goes. It's rarely in the dark-skinned favor. It's in light-skinned favor.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure growing up through the years.
You're light-skinned. Of course you feel that way.
I've heard dark men are in, and you know it's over for you light skins. Like, look at the way people talked about the Warriors when they were winning the championship, Steph and Clay. You know, we still talk about, oh, that's some light skin stuff. No. Like last night, for example, last night, you know, the whole thing that happened with JSN after the game. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, what happened with JSN? First thing I saw was probably some light skin shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? So light skin has become a negative connotation now because I think, you know, the darker people, well, I don't even know how to word this, I guess.
Oh, shit. The darker people.
But the dark skinned people.
What?
The darker people. That's crazy.
The dark skinned people are fighting back, basically, is what I'm trying to get to.
They've
been treated away for so long that now they like, we got the juice now. But I feel like
with men, I don't think it's the same conversation, bro. Because with men, yeah, light-skinned dudes, you typically get told, you know, he's light-skinned, he's a bitch, slap me, turn red, stuff like that. But the whole light-skinned, dark-skinned dude is in, it's always shifted. It's been, you know, it'll be it'll be Wesley Snipes. But at the same time, it'll be G-Money. Like, it's always been, I'll be sure, or Bobby Brown. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's always been, there's a light-skinned dude that represents everybody, and then there's a dark-skinned dude that represents everybody. You know, there's a Morris Chestnut, and then there's Terrence Howard. There's Chris Brown, and then there's Omarion. Like, there's always, you know, like, the dudes always can get it off. But with women, the whole colorism thing wasn't a thing until women started talking about
the preference conversation, you know. But go ahead, Riz.
No, I was going to go right back to the preference conversation, because you asked what's the difference between preference and hatred, right? Preferences, oh man, I really like thick girls, or I really like dark skinned girls, or I really like light skinned girls. The other one is, yo, if you're not this thing, you're ugly, you're unattractive, nobody wants you. That's when it's hatred. When you have to tear down the other to build the other one up. It's the same thing we talk about in basketball and stuff.
Like, oh, I was just about to say that.
It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. That's where it becomes hatred. If you just say, yo, I like every girl I've dated was a light skin girl. I just think that they're that's my jam. Now, other women are also pretty. Like, for example, I've never dated a white woman ever in my life. I've never dated non-black women. But it's not because I think they're ugly. It's just that's never been the thing that I've run up on. Like, there's just certain things that I look for, and that's not one of them. But I don't hate white women. I don't think white women are unattractive. I don't think that there aren't sexy white women. I just have only dated black women, and I like that. So, like, that's the difference between hate and preference.
Well, that was a conversation that Lindsay and I had a few years ago, like, you know, preferences, all this kind of stuff. And I was just like, you would drive yourself crazy trying to figure out what I like. You know what I mean? Like, I just love women. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't care about all that other immaterial things that you can't control. I'm a red-blooded man, first of all.
Hey, yeah.
I'm a red-blooded man.
I'm Jesse Jackson. I'm equal opportunity.
Yeah, pussy ain't got a face. That's you.
Oh, okay. I ain't saying all that now.
Okay. Listen. I have a type.
I got a type. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, dog. We're talking about an actual type.
But no,
the type is the nice legs and the face. You know what I'm saying? I have to like looking at you. I'm not going to sit up here and pretend like, well, I fell in love with a personality and that was good for me. No, hell no.
But you can fall in love with a personality, though.
And it will never work for Xavier.
But that's also part of my type. No, but that's the other thing. Like, but that's the other thing. Like, my type includes personality. Like, I
No, I feel that.
I like intelligent women that I can speak to and have conversations. Like, that's a part that I factor into my attraction. Like, it's a
No. I 100% agree with you. I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to ever lie, or, you know, one of the new phrases nowadays is being a pick me, where you'll sit up here and say, like, I'm this, so everybody chooses you. I'm never going to sit up here and tell you, like, man, as long as her personality is dope, I don't care what she looks like. Hell no. You got the greatest personality in the world. If you look like Principal Trenchball, you gonna be over there. We can be cool. We can talk.
But that person should be very offended right now. I don't know who they are, but I'm sorry that Jack feels that way about you.
Like, you are not happening. Hell no.
Am I the only one that looks at people a certain way when they order chicken and they want white meat instead of dark meat?
No, do you know why?
I will judge you.
No, do you know why I do? I order white meat instead of dark meat. It's because a lot of times you ask for dark meat, they give you a wing, and I hate wings.
They do give you a wing, or they'll give you the smallest leg.
Yeah, if I come to your Popeye's chicken establishment, don't give me a wing, bro, because y'all have the smallest wings in the world. Give me a drumstick. I'm an adult male.
Or a thigh.
But if they would give me all legs, then I'd be cool. But you want to give me a stupid wing. Sorry.
So you go to chicken titties.
All RZA didn't say is just a decent man looking for a drumstick.
That's it, bro. Give me a drumstick. I'm an adult.
You know what I'm saying? He wants a nice breast or a drumstick.
There we go.
That's it, man.
That's me. That's my type.
Provide the nice breast. And, you know, so on the Joe Budden podcast.
Joe Budden podcast.
You know, there's been this conversation about the one and only Mark Lamont Hill, a.k.a. Dark Lamont Hill.
Yeah.
That started on the Native Land podcast. You know, Angela Rye, Andrew Gilliam, so on and so forth, Tiffany Cross. And they were
Bakari Sellers, South Carolina zone.
Oh, yeah, Bakari Sellers, my bad. Bakari, forgot about you for a second. But, you know, but they were having a conversation about Mark. And, you know, like, It was more like they were having an intervention. Like, why are you over there? Like, what? Why are you like this? Why are you a part of this crew? Why do you hang out with these people?
Didn't they also, course, he's kind of like dumbing himself down to be over
there? Yeah, dumbing himself down. And then, of course, the Joe Budden podcast had their retort, which one, you know, of course, Joe Budden went into, you need to learn how to share your friends. And then two, I was all with the argument. And then, of course, Ish had to reduce it down to money. But
yeah.
What did you guys think about that?
Oh, because Ish was like, we getting paid over here and blah, blah, blah. Like, you making money. But I don't know why money has to always be a topic. Like, just because you make a lot of money doesn't mean your product is good. You can just be popular. Like, there's plenty of rappers that are dog shit and have way more money than a lot of us. And they're completely
But the Joe Budden podcast is literally the outlier when it comes to podcasts. Yeah, most people who are podcasting in some way, shape, form, or fashion are podding because of the Joe Budden podcast, especially if you're in entertainment. When Joe first started podding, none of them were podding.
Everybody podcast because of him.
Yeah, like the intellectuals were not trying to pod. So what I wanted to have this conversation about this, I am so sick and tired. And as somebody who considers himself to be a black intellectual, somebody who does read and someone who does know history and someone that does take a great state part of my life in fighting for the rights of people who may not understand why it's important that we fight for the rights. I hate when people act like we're supposed to be so separated from regular society and that we should just be like speaking only in parlors where leather-bound books are held and there's incense in the air. Dog, we need to be everywhere. We need to be in barbershops having conversations with people who may not have the intellect to have the conversation, but may not be exposed to the curriculum and to the understanding that some of us have been able to build. Like the privilege that we speak from in a lot of cases when it comes to being like educated and the way we talk about people who we perceive as uneducated is really nasty. And it turns people away. And it's why we can't come together as a people in a lot of cases, because we want to gatekeep intelligence. We want to gatekeep culture. We want to gatekeep all of these things as though your degrees or your education makes you better than somebody else. It doesn't. Mark Lamont Hill is doing amazing work on the Joe Budden podcast because people who never heard the things that he's talking about are now hearing about him. Does Joe and the team make jokes about stuff? Absolutely. Do you know why? Because they're entertainers. They're entertaining people. But they also never say, it's never a point where it's like, yo, like he may say, take that down the street. But he lets Mark get a whole lot of stuff off that they never talked about beforehand. And instead of acknowledging the growth that these people are making, we'd rather tear them down. And as long as that's the way black intelligentsia is going to approach people who aren't educated, then we're going to continue to lose people and lose these battles.
Message. Holy shit. That's cutting today. That's the take. That is the take. Rez.
You know, yeah, it's hard to follow that up, but you know,
there's nothing he said that we can't agree with, and there's nothing to like double down on. It's just a simple fact. I was gonna say, I seen this video the other day. I want to say my sister-in-law sent it to me about how black people are so divided because of our subcategories. Like, I don't talk to that black guy because he's an atheist, and I won't talk to that black guy because he's gay, and I won't talk to that black guy because he talks proper and he wouldn't understand where real niggas come from. And black people need to just eliminate the subs and realize we're still all black and we need to all be community.
We need each other, bro.
That's it.
Bro, we need each other.
We do. And you know, and that's the other thing is that people in 2025 still view black as a monolith. You know, there is more than one way to be black, just like there's variety all across the board. So also, some of the people that we don't necessarily consider as the intellectuals, they have intellect.
Yes.
You know, they're just smart in different areas. So, like, yeah, you know Socrates, you know what I mean, or whatever the case may be. They know how to fix that car.
I was about to say, they can figure it out. That's MacGyver. You don't even know it. That's Hood MacGyver over there.
Exactly. So, So there's a need for that balance of we just make each other better, because the same way that an intellectual could teach some of these guys, you know, some of this book information or whatever they might be holding on to, there's other things about life in general and experiences that you haven't experienced that they can walk you through. So right. A guy like Flip, and that was the point that I liked that they brought up. It was like, everybody looks at Flip as this ignorant, you know, he can't formulate thoughts and that type of thing. But hey, look, he got his own business.
He does.
You know what I mean? Whereas like, yeah, you know, when I see people, you know, like Angela Rye, I know they're doing their thing, but you know what I'm saying? You were relying on CNN at one point.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like Flip could have showed you how to hustle and probably start the native land 5 years ago. I don't know when it started, but you know, but could have got you started faster, better, more efficiently, and being popular right now. Yeah. So there is an avenue for that. You just got to allow it to manifest.
Yeah, we got to stop throwing our people away, man. Like we really do. I even think about like the hot box, right? Like the fact that like when I first started in hot box, like I was like, yo, this is, you know, whatever. But I realized that I had a purpose in that space. If young people never get around intelligent Black men that can express themselves and communicate effectively and understand the history of our people in this country and abroad, even like, where are they going to hear it? It's like the spades game, right? If you come to a cookout and you don't know how to play spades and everybody just keeps asking you, you don't know how to play spades? And nobody ever teaches you how to play spades. You never learn. Not only do you never learn, but you learn to hate the people who know how to play spades.
It's a fact.
We gotta stop doing this to our own people. You mentioned like we all have a purpose in this thing, right? Like you said it in a different way. But like if you think about, right, I'm somebody who wants to work in the community and help the community. Well, if I talk down to the people that I'm helping, am I helpful?
Nope, not at all. You're a gatekeeper.
That woman without a high school diploma, that has five kids that may be under the poverty level, like she may know everybody in that neighborhood. So when I'm trying to get everybody together to come to this town hall, she may be the one person that can put me in touch with everybody. But she'll never talk to me because when I'm in the community or when I'm on the airwaves, I'm talking down on her and people like her. She doesn't want to help me. We can't continue to ask for collaboration from people that we tear down. It's one thing that from my community work that really frustrates me. Like it really does. So I'm sorry, you know, I'm passionate about this. I ain't trying to like
that's literally your life. Like this is what you do.
I was gonna bring you up because you know, I know you in the middle, you know, saying always love to call people losers and things like that. And sometimes they just don't know how to win. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes they want to win.
I was letting Rez cook, man. Let's let him get his thing off. I call people losers because it's a different form of loser. All right. So for instance, the people that we're talking about that are down and don't know, totally different situation versus the guy who literally has it all and is still too stupid to function. But getting off of that and going to the movie. So One Battle After Another is a recent movie that came out. It stars Sienna Taylor and the greatest actor of all time, Leonardo DiCaprio. If you don't know who Leonardo DiCaprio is,
just look up GOAT.
Look up the GOAT. Look up, I don't know, Inception. I don't know, Wolf of Wall Street, Titanic. Shutter Island, but I mean, I was naming like the knockouts, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, my bad.
Big dogs, you know, Gangs
of New York. The Great Gatsby,
you know. But anyway, Django, you know. But
Django.
One Battle After Another is a great film about a Black coalition going against white supremacy. That's what it's really about. It's about the, I can't remember their name, it's the French 97. And they're going 75. Against. Is it the first 75?
Yeah.
Okay, the first 75, and they basically go against, you know, white supremacy and how white people are trying to take over, blah 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 blah. Tiana Taylor is one of the founding members. She's a real dog in this. She's really, really connected to it, and she falls for a white dude. And obviously that goes against their rules because it's supposed to be Black Power, yada yada yada. They end up having a kid, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not gonna ruin the plot, but I mean, I'm not gonna spoil the movie. It's still kind of new, but there's another white dude who's ahead of the FBI, you know, trying to get into the Good Boys Club. Like, he's trying to get there. So he's always trying to mess up their plans, and Teyana Taylor is basically playing both sides so she could get away with certain things because of him. Now, where the movie throws me off, and this is a great movie, okay? It's a really good movie, but what pisses me off is the over aggressive sexual nature of Black women in this movie. Any way you want to put it, it's a fetish. The dude got it. All versions of it. the dude puts in there just the stereotypes of strong Black women. He's got Teyana Taylor pregnant with her belly out, firing an AK, like, yeah, motherfucker. We, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like, rah, 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 rah. But she's so militant. She's so strong. But her weakness is a white man. And that's the thing that pisses me off. Not the white man she's in love with, but the white man with the power. The white man with the power to destroy her life. Then, you know, what I'll say is there's a bank robbery scene in this movie, and it's absolutely disgusting the way that power is presented with Black women. It's all about their pussy, and, you know, this is what Black power looked like. And the girl's name is literally Jungle Pussy. I'm not just saying pussy just to say it. No, her name is Jungle Pussy. Yeah. And she walks around and says her name like 7 times for no reason in this robbery. Then the only Black guy in the scene that's not part of them dies. I can't rock with that because it's like, yo, the Black dude was the only guy in the bank that had to die. I don't like that. So the movie itself is a fantastic film. However, it is a disgusting look at how racist white men can look over their racism and still go after Black women because of the fetish of them being these hyper dominant, but also these ultra sexual beings. It's disgusting. Yeah. And then on top of that, Teyana Taylor literally leaves her child to go back out into the world and be the militant sister that she is. Like, she's just so gung-ho and strong that she doesn't even need to be a mother. Like, it's just, it's a nasty depiction of Black women. And that's my take.
Yeah, no, I also love the movie. To your point, the one downside of it was anytime they had Black people speak, it felt like they were like, yo, we need Black dialogue. Where is Tyler Perry? Like, like, where is he to come write some dialogue for us, for these Negroes? I did not enjoy that part of it. I think the storyline's amazing. I think the acting was phenomenal. They just did such an amazing thing. And I'm under the assumption there may be another movie, because it's actually derivative from the book Vineland.
Yeah, book, right.
Which I want to actually read this book to find out more about it and sort of the world that we were sort of dropped into. I don't feel like they did a great job of telling the backstory of sort of how we ended up in this space, because there is a white purification that's supposed to be happening, and that the guy who's the villain in the movie is trying to be a part of, and then they find out that he's, you know, not a part of their crew in totality. So check it out. One battle after another. I definitely enjoyed the movie. You'll see the things that we were talking about, but yeah, great, great, great movie. And shout out to Leonardo DiCaprio, not the other.
Also, I just want to tell everybody who's watching this, the film, the disgusting parts that me and him are talking about, it's only the first 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's like after the first 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, after that, the film is fantastic. It's just that first.
It's a 3-hour movie.
Yeah, it's 3 hours. So the disgusting like parts of it, it's really early, and it's still a great film. It's really good. Sure.
So I haven't seen it, but what you're saying is there ain't no 5% nation in that movie.
No, the 5%, the Nation of Gods and Earth did not show up.
Okay.
You know, 85%, you know, 85% of the world done deaf and blind, you know, 10% of the world, you know.
All right. Well, there you go. You know, saying I guess I'll add that movie to my list. Away. 5%, add that movie to my list, you know.
Original Black man.
The Jungle, you know.
Wow. Asiatic Black man.
Jungle P.
All right. Well, you know what?
A rapper by the same name.
Quick hits.
Yeah, quick. So, you know, what album do you personally love that hasn't aged well?
Oh, Reg, you can definitely go first. Y'all are going to be mad at mine.
Uptown Saturday Night, Camp Lo.
Okay.
I love that album so much. I grew up walking. The thing I remember, though, being a kid is I had no idea what they were saying. And I still, you know, as an adult, 30-some-odd years later, still have no idea what they're talking about. It has something to do with robbing people and money. But they use such a their own, like, coded language that is not for understanding by regular human beings.
Okay. I can dig that, Jack.
Why not? You go. You go.
All right. Well, don't y'all dare try to call me a hypocrite when I say this. It's got to be Tupac, Me Against the World. You know, at the time that I heard that album, and it, like I said, this is at the time, you know, I looked at it the way that people viewed Illmatic. And, you know, as time went on, I just grew to love it dearly with each passing year. There's times where I still go back and listen to it, and it's just like, that album was behind its time from a production standpoint. You know, the lyrics were on point for sure.
It's true.
But the production sounded like, you know, old school LL, like, you know, like around that era. But what he was saying was so impactful and easy to feel, you know, like Tupac made me feel, you know. But I think that if I played that album for this generation,
yeah,
tell me to fold it up right now.
Yeah, fold it up right now, old man. Get out of here, Unk.
We fold that up right now.
Yeah. So that's my pick.
All right. So this album is triple platinum. This album is nominated for a Grammy. This album is for one of the greatest performers of all time. He's one of the most famous people in the world. Will Smith's Millennium.
Whoa.
Will Smith's Millennium. Will 2K. Okay. Wild Wild West.
Okay.
And freaking it. Three singles. Like I said, this album went triple platinum, 2 Grammy noms. He's got an American Music Award, a Britain Award, he performed at the MTV Awards and also won a Kids' Choice Award.
I hate that you looked up the accolades for this album.
Hey, dog, I told you. Y'all asked the question. I said, I got something for y'all that y'all are not going to expect. But Will Smith's Millennium album came out in 1999. That's it.
You know what?
That's crazy.
You know, taking it back to the days of Lance Storm, if we could be serious for a minute.
You still love this album?
Triple platinum, bro. I have it on my playlist. I listen to a couple of them songs every couple of weeks.
That is,
yeah.
I had an honorable mention for mine too. Okay. Ja Rule's Vinny Vidi Vici album.
Great album.
Such an amazing album.
You said albums that didn't age well.
Well, it didn't, because if I played it for kids right now, like they would not, like it would not hit.
It would not rate. That's true.
No, like Jay-Z, DMX, and Ja Rule on Murderers. Oh my gosh.
And then of course, without pissing off Radical Jack, I guess my honorable mention would be Into the 36 Chambers.
All right, next subject.
And before we get out of here, I did change my mind. I am adding You God, you know, to my celebrities I would like to meet and fan out over list.
You can't fan out over You God, though.
I can. That's a great book.
Out over You God when half of people...
What would you say? Like, I really enjoyed it when you...
I would be like, God, that verse on Triumph, son.
You're player number 6. Nobody cares about you. You're player 6.
You God didn't start Triumph, did he?
No, he didn't start. That was Inspect the Deck.
Nobody cares about the 6th verse in that song, bro.
You're player six, bro. Come on.
Why you gotta be like this?
There is one definitive verse on Triumph. It is not spit by you, God.
I'm curious to know how many people know who You God is. I really want to know.
If You God robbed my home, like in broad daylight,
you would not know who he was.
With a shirt on that
you
said,
would know Golden Arms.
My name is You God.
You would know Golden Arms.
I would not, my guy. No, I promise you. If he just had on a Wu-Tang shirt, like not a My Name is You God shirt, if he just walked through my neighborhood with a Wu-Tang shirt on,
let's just be honest. Ready? You ready? Look, watch this. RZA, GZA, Inspector Deck, Raekwon the Chef, Method Man, Old Dirty Bastard, the rest of them niggas. That's how that goes. That's it.
So one last time before we get out of here.
Capadonna.
Why are you like this?
Capadonna.
Why are you like this? Take us out of here.
As always, we appreciate you, everyone who tunes in. Man. Whether you're a first-time listener, a last-time listener, we're just three guys with a perspective hoping to deliver a diverse way of thinking. Open dialogue always expands intelligence. Say less.
Say more.
Yeah, you definitely say less.
You got your butt pocket.
You!
Shout out to You God, Capadonna, all y'all.
Master Killer, what up?
Here. Yeah.